Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here today and presenting the Bellwide Cotton Conference again. I'd like to recognize the co-authors of this presentation, Hunter Frame from Virginia Tech, Dan Frommey from Louisiana State, and Beatrice Haggard from Louisiana State, and I'll be presenting information from all three of these locations, looking at the impact of cotton yield and quality from various potassium applications. In the Blacklands of Texas in particular, and much of the Cotton Belt, this is becoming much more common. These potassium deficiencies on these cotton leaves, the yellowing of the cotton leaves. And in the Blacklands of Texas, we're seeing whole fields that look a lot like this cotton field right here, where the potassium deficiencies are becoming more and more prevalent. And we think it's to a large degree of us mining the potassium out of the soils. So to address this, since they are becoming more common, the reports are becoming more common across the Cotton Belt, and we also know our cotton yields are becoming much higher, as was shown by some of the presentations previously. We're wondering that huge demand on the potassium in those cotton plants just can't pull up enough potassium to meet that yield potential. And it's taking the potassium from those leaves and putting it into that fruit load. And then also, if we have these potassium deficiencies, that can also lead to increased disease presence later in the season, which can further reduce yields. Previous research by Mullins and Burmaster has shown the demand of potassium on that cotton plant, usually beginning, really starting at first square, but the huge demand starts mid-square and goes through about peak bloom. As that bowls are developing, potassium is also very important in the fiber elongation and, again, the reduction of foliar diseases, and particularly late in the season, as those potassium deficiencies show up in those leaves. And it's also been estimated that about 30 pounds of potassium is needed to produce a bale of cotton. Just a little bit of background here and a little more justification. These are the cotton yields over the past 50 years. We can see a dramatic increase in cotton yields over this time frame, going from about 575 pounds to a little over 775 pounds, or somewhere around there. But during that same time frame, this is the amount of nutrients that are to be applied to those different crops. And this is from USDA, ERS, via the fertilizer use in agriculture, again, for about the last 50 years. We notice that we have increased nitrogen use quite a bit over that time frame from the 60s to 2010. But if you look at potassium and phosphate, since about the 1970s or mid-70s, we've pretty much been flat in what we've been applying to our fields. And this is for all crops, not just cotton. But cotton is even more susceptible to potassium deficiencies than our grain crops are. So we had increasing yield, really haven't been increasing our potassium applications, and we've more or less been mining our soils of these potassium. And that's what this shows. This is the NUGIS developed by IPNI, and they have it for all the major nutrients, but this is a potassium balance estimate for 2012. And basically, if you see apologize for the quality. To see the yellow dots there, that's basically neutral. So we're not taking more potassium off those fields than is being applied. If it's green, it means that probably we're actually accumulating potassium in those fields. And if it's the orange to the red, it means we're in a deficit where we're pulling off more potassium than we're being applied. And if you notice, a lot of our major cotton production regions in Texas and the Delta, and even over in Georgia, we're probably pulling off a lot more potassium than we're putting on these fields. And this is probably one reason we're seeing more and more of these potassium deficiencies. The other thing gets back to the varieties have changed to a large degree where these varieties are higher yielding, but they're also compressing their fruit load. This is a slide I got from Jared Whitaker and Guy Collins, and also Glenn Ritchie, who was working on this with these guys too. But look at the bowl distribution. So on the left side, it's the bowls per acre, and then on the bottom, it's the main stem node. So the green line there is Delta Pine 555, which you guys, most of you know quite well, late maturing, full season variety. And then you look at some of the other varieties that are currently out there on the market. And many of these are, you know, mid-maturity varieties too. But if you look at varieties like Phytogen 375 or Fibromax 1740, which are the blue and the purple line there, you see they have a very quick peak of bowl production. Again, a very quick fruit set. And obviously there's going to be a high demand for potassium when they're in that stage. So a lot of things have changed, again, leading to some of the issues we're currently facing. So to address some of these issues, we had trials in Texas. We've had those going on since 2012. Hunter Frames had some up in Virginia for a couple years, and then Louisiana's had some, beginning with John Cruz, and then Beatrice and Danny Frommy also. I'll show Texas first. These are the treatments we had in Texas from 2012 to 2014, where basically we're looking at liquid applications that were injected, 20, 40, 80, 120, and 160. And then we had granular applications of basically those same exact rates, broadcast incorporated. And all these were spring applied. All the trials in Texas were conducted either in the Blacklands or the Upper Gulf Coast, so heavy clay soils. With our liquid applications, we were doing a 4x6 inch from the seed row about 2 to 3 weeks before planting. Broadcast incorporated with the tandem disc 1 to 3 inches deep 2 to 3 weeks before planting. And this was the first year of this trial. 2012 was a very dry year, and this is the Stiles Farm Foundation in Williamson County, which is the southern Blacklands of Texas. Where typically soil test recommendations do not recommend potassium applications. This particular site had about 60 part per million, so the soil test recommendation would have been about 65 pounds of potassium in a broadcast incorporated application. But looking on the left, there's the control or the untreated, and then we go to liquid 40, 80, 120, and then granular 40, 80, 120. And we can see looking at the untreated control versus our granular application, we can see we did get a yield bump there. And again, that meets our soil test recommendations. The soil test recommendation was about 65 pounds on here, which does fit this range there between 40 and 80. But the most surprising thing was the response we got from the injected applications of potassium, where we got a significant yield bump at 40, and going all the way up to 120 pounds of this injected potassium, where we were more than tripling our yields over the broadcast incorporated treatments. The other thing, again, the very dry year, this is the fiber quality from those same locations, and basically the same treatment order there on the left side, and then the fiber quality characteristics. But we also increased our loan value considerably over the untreated check, which was 38.7 cents, and our highest yielding and highest potassium rate was at 50 cent loan value. This situation, we increased Micronair, which was actually a good thing because Micronair was so low in the untreated check and the low potassium rates. But we also increased length in some situations, strength, and also uniformity. So it made a big difference at that particular location. We repeated these trials in 2013. Again, a fairly dry year, but we had some timely rains. So 2013 is in red there. And this is set up a little bit differently. It's 160 injected on the left down to a 20. And then we had the 160 to 40, and then the untreated is on the far right. And basically you can see the stair step increase as we increase some of those potassium rates. But in particular, you can see where we did the injected, beginning at 40 pounds, we got a significant yield bump over the untreated check, and in most situations, even over the broadcast incorporated rates, even the highest rates of broadcast incorporated. 2014, yields were considerably lower at that location, and probably the best explanation for that is that we had a crop out there that it started growing quite well. We ran out of moisture. It went into cutout, and then we got about 4 inches of rain, and it put on a lot of top growth and turned off hot and dry again, and it shed all the top growth. So the yield potential wasn't there, and it really didn't have that major demand in that short time frame like we had seen in some of the other situations. And in 2013 in Williamson County, from the data I just showed where we had the yield response, we also increased micron error again. And in this situation, we actually hurt ourselves by having on micron error for having that higher rates of potassium out there. And that's probably in some ways, since we can manage that with varieties and defoliation, that's not so bad. In this situation, it meant that we had healthier plants at the end of the year. We didn't have the onset of some of those late season diseases, and I think it was just due to a healthier plant filled out those fibers a little bit better. Now down in Wharton County, which is the upper Gulf Coast of Texas, in 2013, we basically got a very good yield response again, especially from even those highest rates of injected potassium. We really didn't get much of a yield response, or too much of a yield response from the Broadcast Incorporated, but again, from the injected, we got some significant yield responses over the untreated check in particular. The untreated check was nearly 600 pounds, but the highest rate of potassium was closer to over 1,050 pounds. So again, a significant response. 2014, whether it was due to the type of environment, or also we changed the variety. The variety in 2014 at this location was phytogen 499, so again, a more vegetative type variety that may have also masked some of the differences. And these are the potassium deficiencies that we had. This is Stiles Farm in 2013 when we got that really good yield response. On the left there is the 0 pounds of potassium applied. You can see the foliar diseases and the way those plants look versus on the right, it's 120 pounds injected and how healthy those plants look. Hunter Frame basically had the exact same trial up at Virginia. His soil test levels, I think, were rated high at both 0 to 6, but also 6 to 12 inches, and basically got no yield response from any of the applications, regardless of the rate or the application method in 2014. And then Danny Frommy and Beatrice Haggard have had some various trials in Louisiana. And Danny and Beatrice are looking at the varieties to some degree too. So this was conducted at St. Joseph, Louisiana, in a Commerce silt loam. And then you can see the varieties there. Five current varieties: Stoneville 5288, Delta Pine 0912, Delta Pine 1321, Phytogen 499, and Phytogen 339, and then three potassium rates. These were, I'm pretty sure, all Broadcast Incorporated, 0, 60, and 120 pounds per acre. And basically, they did not get a significant difference from any of those varieties, no varietal differences, regardless of the application rate. So they pulled this information together for 2013 and 2014. And I apologize for this. It did not look this way on my computer. Where it says cell range, that should be letters that say significant difference. But basically, what they've compared here, the variety is Delta Pine 0912, and on the left is the irrigated site where they had 0, 30, 60, and 120 pounds of potassium applied. And then on the right side is potassium applied at the same rates, but it's the non-irrigated. And I thought it was really interesting to see the yield response in the dry land site, which was a very significant yield response. But in the irrigated site, it was essentially very little yield response at all. And at the highest potassium rate, the non-irrigated yielded as high as the irrigated did. And we've had a lot of discussions on these, and I think it's probably one reason we saw a lot of differences in Texas too, is on the dry years, is when the dry years, not as much potassium is really readily available in solution for those plants to pick up. So if we can put those higher rates out there on the dry years, that's when it's really going to probably pay for itself. So in conclusion, basically application methods, the injected had more consistent yield response at the location. So in Texas, in the Blacklands and Upper Gulf Coast, we've had significant yield responses 2 out of 3 years. And basically that increased our potassium efficiency, potassium use efficiency. And at the responsive sites, which again, all those were 150 part per million or below, we increased yield, but we also increased micronair. So depending on your situation, that could be a good or bad thing. And then strength increased at several of the locations also where we got a yield response. So we increased our quality in some situations and our yield. And then based on the injected application method, we may have to reevaluate what our threshold is for potassium, our soil test potassium levels. Because at our Wharton site, we should not have gotten a response at all in 2013, but we did in the injected applications. So looking forward, Cotton Incorporated, IP&I, and the Fluid Fertilizer Foundation, we're basically pooling funds from a lot of locations where we're going to have a belt-wide protocol, very similar to those treatments we had in Texas, where we're going to look at a broadcast versus injected application at over 13 sites from the East Coast to the West Coast, pretty much. We're going to be taking deep profile samples to get not only the soil K levels in the surface, but also deeper down in the soil. We'll do some leaf sampling, of course, yield and quality. And again, that'll be sponsored by Cotton Incorporated Fluid Fertilizer Foundation and IP&I. And I'd like to recognize several of my colleagues, Dale Mott, Dennis Coker, Mark McFarland, Tony Proven, Michael Spiegelhauer, and Chase Basebender, for all their help on these trials. And of course, funding from IP&I for the trials we've had in Texas the last 3 years, and then Cotton Incorporated through Texas State Support Committee. And again, some future funding from Fluid Fertilizer Foundation and IP&I. So anyway, I'll be happy to answer any questions anyone has. Yes, ma'am. Okay. So the level of the potassium found in those soil analysis varied by location. So at Hunter Frames, I believe he was at 200 parts per million using, I believe, Malic 1 extraction method. But all the responsive sites were 150 part per million or less using Malic 3 extraction method. So at 150, yes, we did have a significant yield response even when soil potassium was at 150 part per million at the Wharton site. Once we got at 175 or above, those were the non-responsive sites. So in Texas, in those blackland soils and those heavy clays, we had 10 site years of data, and that's pretty much the summary. 150 or below, we get a response. 150 or above, we haven't. Any other questions? All right. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Dick.